So church, we're excited to be here. I'm blessed to be here with my beautiful wife and a part of our team, you know, a church planting team. As you guys know, you guys are our mother church, and we're planting a church called Renaissance in Baltimore City. So we're just grateful for the opportunity to be here. Your pastor is on vacation. Have you seen? He's like a little kid, isn't he? On roller coasters, like, and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, like, you have more energy than I do to get into stuff. Like, but I'm looking forward to the day that he comes back so we can all go to Six Flags. Well, how many of you say amen, you know? We just got to go to Six Flags and have a good time with Pastor James. Because the way he has fun, I'm like, I dig that, you know? Come on, let's do that. So today I want to speak to you on the subject of walking with the Spirit. I don't know if you guys know, but today is Pentecost Sunday. You know, and I think we got a glimpse of what Pentecost looks like, you know. So it's like, but here's the thing, and there, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about so many things, you know, that for some of us, some people have had a bad taste of the Holy Spirit. Let's be honest, you know. Some people will push you and be like, you're like, oh, you know, like, you don't have to push me to receive the Holy Spirit, you know. Other people will spit on your face, you know, just like, receive, receive. Or they give you like that huge dragon mouth, like, you know, it's just like, I don't got the Holy Spirit, but I got that dragon instead of you coming into me. And it's just like, we get bad experiences. But the reality is that a lot of times we put boxes to what the Holy Spirit looks like and wants to do. So Justin, can you come over here real quick? I'm going to use it for an illustration. So come here. Stand next to me. So how many of you guys know Justin?
Yes.
Okay. So can I tell you, Justin is my brother-in-law, right? You know, so he took my little sister now. he actually married Sissy. But there is certain things that you know about Justin, right? So, let's say you guys know that Justin leads worship, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he does it very well. But can I tell you this? That's one of the attributes that Justin has. So, but here's the thing. You only know that because you have only seen him here working, leading you into his presence. Now, can I tell you this? As American as you see him, this guy, let me tell you this, this guy speaks 3 languages. Will you believe that? Can you speak in the one that I speak?
Español. Por supuesto.
Por supuesto, cierto? Now, can you speak in the one that I do not know?
好，可以。这是中文，所以我可以说中文。那么，有谁有谁会说中文？有这里中国人？哦，没有，这里没有呢。啊，好。I was just saying, is there anyone who can speak Chinese here? I guess not.
So clearly we're not. So, but at the same time, so there's a lot of things Justin, of the person of Justin that he is, and he does, that we do not know because we have not yet spent some time with him. Now, I'll tell you the other thing. He's a great teacher. He loves scripture. And when he gets into scripture, he's like this little, I can think of a sensei. He's like really quiet. And then he brings up, boom, you know, and then he's like, oh, that was good. You know, it's just like, but it's a gift that the Spirit has done. But here's the thing. Unless you spend time with him, then you will know those attributes of him. Thank you. He's a great husband too. And a great friend. There's a lot of things. But so here's the thing. We know what we're being taught of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. There's things that the Holy Spirit, they are not taught. They are caught. And, you know, my father-in-law always tells me, he said, there's things we cannot teach. There's things we have to catch. And this is why it's important when in the room, things happen, the Spirit of God is still doing things. We have to respond. Because the Spirit of God is doing something, and He's trying to reveal Himself as something else. Now, the word Holy Spirit and in Scripture, it doesn't make justice to what it actually really is. Okay, we can talk about the Holy Spirit, and I tell you this, we can be here talking for a year, and even if we can talk for all of our lives, there are still dimensions of the Spirit of God that we will never be able to comprehend and understand. But I just want to help you with a little bit, because I believe in the 70s we had the Jesus movement, you know, and things happen. But I believe, for what the Lord is being impressing on our hearts, that we're on the verge of walking into the next great awakening that this church has seen. But this is how it's going to happen. It's going to be because people are going to be filled and going to live, feel, and move with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So now, like, because, and I think that the understanding of what the Spirit does has to increase a little bit, so that way we can understand. So when He comes, we don't reject Him, we don't push Him. Okay? Now, the Spirit is always with us. The Spirit is always with us, but He will only do what we allow Him to do. Yes. You know, I mean, we can talk about some. I'm going to talk about some things today, and I want you to be open to what the Spirit of God is saying to you, to your life personally, okay? And I want you to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is doing in the room. Okay? Amen. 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 So awesome. So, what do we know about the Holy Spirit? And this is going to get cool as we move. But can we stand up? We're going to read a scripture, and I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to go in. I heard that we can be here until like 3 o'clock. Is that true? And if it is, I mean, if that's what the Spirit of God wants to do, and you get a saying, I mean, like, not me. I'm leaving at 1. No, I'm just messing. So we're going to read a scripture out of John 14. Verses 15 to 21. And it says like this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to connect with this thing. Are we good? 18, right?
Yes.
Okay. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will not see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Now we have to think of this. In this one context of the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says 2 times, implies, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And I think that's important for our generation. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Father, Lord, we ask you to come and take control. Not my thoughts, Lord, but what the Spirit of God wants to speak into us today. We speak for awakening. God, seeds planted in our hearts, God, that today, God, we will not walk as we walked in. We will walk different and empowered by your Spirit of God. We ask you these in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Cool. You might have a seat. This is so awesome. So the Holy Spirit can be such a complex term and a complex thing to talk in the church. And don't get me wrong, there's people who have experiences that are not the best, and I'm apologizing for that. In behalf of the Lord, you know, because he's a good God, you know, so he came here to love you. But we can put a damper on what the Spirit wants to do because of the mistakes of other people have made. Okay, so we have to be able to trust what the Spirit of God is doing, because the reality is the Spirit of God, it's the one who Jesus sent to be with us. Okay? Now, so you know the Father created everything, right? You know the Father, and they all work together in this, but the Father is the creator. You know, but then Jesus came to be the mediator, right? So, you know, Jesus came to pay the price, right? To shed his blood, you know, to bring us into relationship with him. But here's the thing. Jesus often says, I must leave so someone else can come in. So this is important for us, and we need to understand this, because a lot of times our attention goes only to Jesus, and we're all about Jesus, and we blame Jesus, and Jesus this, and Jesus that, and the Holy Spirit says, what about me? You know, say, what am I in the picture? You know, just say, like, I mean, like, you know, he left, you know, but he says, I will send you another spirit that will come to be with you to be your helper. So, you know, now, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now we need to understand this. With Jesus, obedience is based out of love, not of obligation. And this is something that we have to truly understand ourselves, because, you know, because we don't work for God. We work with God. Okay? We work with the Spirit. You know? So I obey the Lord because I love the Lord, not because I'm afraid of the Lord. Does that make sense? And we need to understand this, because a father doesn't correct his children just to punish him. He corrects them because he loves them. So, you know, in our generation, you know, we are afraid of correction and discipline. You know why? Because it seems to be something that, oh, you don't love me. But the reality is that, you know, when someone corrects and someone loves them in the right way, it's actually because they deeply care for who we are and what we do. And I believe that as the commandments of Jesus and what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to our lives in the past years, it's all out of love. Does that make sense? It's all out of love. Like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now he says, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his son to save the world. So you know, so now it's like, now we have to go through this whole thing of like, this is the way I used to be, and this is who I need to be. But the thing is, like, who I need to be, it doesn't depend on what I can do for me. It all depends on who is within me, and it's the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? So now I wanna speak to you in this. You know, we don't work with God. We don't work for God. We work with that. With God, with Dad, I call him Dad. So, you know, John 15:15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. That's where we get that song, I am a friend of God. You know, it's just, he calls me friend, yeah. You know, how many of you guys want a friend? And I think we all want a friend, right? I want a friend, you know, and you can say, I want to call you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples, he brings another ball to the game. He says, now, if I'm your friend, like, I'll tell you little. I mean, if you're my servant, I'll tell you little. But if I'm your friend, I'll tell you everything that I heard from the Father. So, you know, and I think that's huge, if you were to understand this, because Jesus wants to be our friend. The Spirit of God wants to be our friend, and he wants to reveal the things that are in the Father's heart to us. So I think it's important that we understand that, you know, that we don't war for God, but that we are friends of God, and that his Spirit wants to walk with us daily. Look at your neighbor and says, he wants to walk with you daily. You know, it's kind of like, you know, and sometimes walking with someone can be pretty boring. Or it can be hard, you know, like, so let's say I'm going to tell you this. My wife has long legs, right? So when I have to walk next to her, I have short legs. So it's like when she's walking fast, like I'm jogging, you know, just like I gotta get on her pace, you know. Or if my sister's walking, say, we have to like literally run. But if she's leading the way, then we feel like, you know, like because she walks slower, you know, we have to walk slower. Does that make sense? So it's like when we walk with someone, that means that person is next to us. And we have to keep like pace with that person. So sometimes it's hard, you know. So like I tell you this, like I hate going grocery shopping with my wife. I don't know how many of you guys do us, man. You know, because she has her list. So, you know, I have to forget about what I want to do. And I have to literally be like, okay, so babe, what else do we need? What else do we need? And then, you know, my wife is one of those, you know, I love her. You know, I really love you, babe. I just have, like, for my wife is one of those, she's like into fitness and into like eating healthy. So every box she grabs in the store, she reads the ingredients. And you know how much time that takes? You know how much time it takes? She's like, oh, okay, we shouldn't buy this. And I'm like, we spent 5 minutes looking into that thing. We're not going to buy it. And the picture looks so good, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, like, I was really hoping we can get that, you know. And she's like, no, we're not going to buy it. And I'm like, it's not good for us. So it's like, you know, I'm like, whatever. So then we go on to the next thing. And then on and on and on. It goes like that. So it's like a trip to use, it should have took, like, if it was me, 25 minutes sometimes. Yeah, and a lot more expensive. So it's like, she saved us money and make sure we eat healthy. But if it would have given me by myself, it would have been 25 minutes. I would have spent double the money. I would have brought all the junk, you know. That I, she would have been like, we need to return this. And they're like, but what I'm saying is just like, they're walking with someone is different and it looks different for every person. And it requires different things. And I think this is very important that, you know, we are called to have fruits of the Spirit. Now, we can only have fruits when we're rooted somewhere. Okay, a tree cannot bear fruit if it's not rooted somewhere. Okay, so it's like, you know, like walking with the Spirit means living in the Spirit. You know, like we are of this world, but we are not of this world. You know, it's confusing, right? You know, it's like, what do you mean? You know, I'm born here, you know, and stuff. Yeah, but when we get saved, we don't belong to this room no more. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. We'll become part of the family of Jesus. How many of you guys, Jesus is my brother. You know, it's just like, God is my father. And I belong to a greater kingdom than what's out there. Yeah. You know, so it's like, so we become part of this family, you know, but we are to represent something. You know, we are to do this thing. And I'll tell you this, loving people and doing life with people can be pretty frustrating. Can we, like, I mean, am I the only one? You know, okay. You know, so it's all good. You know, because we fall. You know, we fall short. We do wrong things. We do stupid things. We make wrong decisions. We hurt people. You know, so to love people, we need the Spirit of God. You know, we need to have a relationship. So we need to be rooted in here because, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I'm telling you this, my carnal love, I love as Andre, it has expectations and limitations. But the love of the Spirit, the love of the Spirit loves above limitations and above expectations. Does that make sense? So it's like, now, so can I love people? Yes, you can. But you have to be rooted in the things of the Spirit. Okay, if you were not rooted on the things of the Spirit, we cannot truly love people the way God called us to love. So it's important for us to be able to start understanding, you know, like, what does this look like? Because I'll tell you this, the next great awakening that is coming into America, it's not based on speaking in tongues and dancing in the Spirit. It's about living in the Spirit. And we have to be able to live in the Spirit because we have to be able to walk and demonstrate the love of the Father through the Spirit of God working in us to a world who needs Jesus. Does that make sense? All right, cool. So since we're on the same page, this is good. All right, cool. Awesome. Now I made my point. So now here I want to talk to you about in verse 16, the word, it says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Say another helper. Oh, this is good, y'all. I'll tell you, this is good. Because the word another helper, it means a lot more than what another helper means for us. Okay, you know, like, how many of you guys work with helpers? And in your job, you do something, you have a helper. And sometimes helpers follow your expectations, don't they? You know, some of the guys, man, like, I wish this guy was helping because this guy know what to do. But this other guy, you know, like, it's not that good, really that good at his job. But, you know, when Jesus says, I have to go because I need to send another helper, the word another in the Greek means allos, okay? And it speaks of another of the same kind with a different ministry. Okay, so when Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to send someone after me, he's not saying, hey, you know, I'm too good for yourself. He says, I'm going to send actually someone who is of the same kind that I am, but with a different ministry. Okay, so we need to look into that because a lot of times we belittle the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit didn't die on the cross, but that was the Spirit of God within Jesus when he was at the cross. Does that make sense? So we believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one. So it's three persons in one, but they're three equal. And we have to give its place to each one of them. Now, each one of them. Now, the next thing is helper, which is parakletos. I hope I said it right, and then I butchered the word. Which a technical word that could be translated to defense attorney, and it means one called to stand next to you as a helper. Now, can I tell you this? I truly believe that if Jesus says, I'm going to send you one of the same kind who's going to walk with you every day, our life should be different if we will walk with the Spirit of God. But here's the thing. The Spirit's within us. And the Spirit speaks to us. You know? And the Spirit is with us every day. But how much are we letting the Spirit rule over our lives? How much are we letting Him transform our lives? Now, when I was studying, Jesus came to do this. Watch this. Jesus came to pay the price, to fulfill the promise of a Savior, to redeem us, to give us access, to make the way, to be the truth, and to bring us into life. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit came to stay. So I want you to catch this because the Holy Spirit didn't came and says, hey, I'm here, but I have to go. No. The Holy Spirit, the helper that Jesus promised, came to stay. The helper that Jesus promised came, you know what he came to? He came to build the church. You know, the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised came to bring life into the church. Came to bring life. He has gifts and manifestations that are very needed for the day that we live now. Yes. You know, there is so much deception. There is so much darkness fleeting in this world. And can I tell you this? It's time for the church to start walking in the sting of the Spirit and to start moving with the power of the Spirit. So you know what? So darkness can move away. But here's the thing, if you and I don't take that place, who else is going to take it? Who else? Who else is going to take it? If you and I are not willing to be obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying, and when He's nudging us to do something, and when He's nudging us to pray for something, can I tell you this? When the Holy Spirit is nudging you, for you to have the gifts of tongues, to pray in tongues, say, I don't want to look weird. Who cares if I look weird? Because the Scripture says that when I pray in tongues, I pray the perfect will of God. Who cares if you look weird? Who cares what the world says? I should care about what my Father says. Amen. Come on, church. We got to wake up. Amen. We got to realize that we have an identity that only the Father gives us through His Spirit. But if we're ashamed to pray, no, I'm just going to look weird. Who cares if you look weird? Don't we all look weird already? We're all different. And you know, that's the beauty. God made us different. Yes. In this room, we probably have, I don't know how many nationalities, we all have different customs and different things that we do that makes us different. And for some of us, make us weird. You know, who cares? But this is what God has for us. Yes. But we got to embrace these things. Yes. We got to embrace these things. You know what? I'm tired. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of people who call themselves Christians. And I'm sorry. Who call themselves Christians, but they don't have a life that reflects to be a Christian. And a life that doesn't reflect the power of Christ working in their lives. Because the Spirit came to transform us, to lead us into all truth. So therefore, can I tell you this? I'm tired of this whole, help me here with this word, emotionalism. Is that correct? When people get emotional, like a... Emotionalism? Okay, thank you, Cuñado. You know, it's like emotionalism. You know, some people say, oh, you know, it's like, and God, this, and we make it weird. We make it weird and we make it creepy for people. Can I tell you this? And if you have that and the Holy Spirit's moving to that and it's bringing transformation into your life, praise God. Amen. Praise God. But if we were doing that just because we got the goosebumps and nothing is changing in our life, then there is a problem. Because He came to us to lead us. The Holy Spirit came to, and I'm going to speak about three things today. Okay? So He's your helper, right? He walks with you every day, right? Now, He came to walk alongside you. I already said that, so boom. Let's go this one. The Holy Spirit came as the truth. Woo! this is good. Tell your friend, this is good. Woo, you know the truth is explicit. It's explicit term because there needs to be a truth because there are lies. So isn't it funny that like God actually, isn't it awesome that actually God, the Father, and Jesus says, and we're going to send the Spirit of Truth. How many of us, now let me paint this picture. How many of us need truth as individuals? And how many of us need truth as a whole, like a whole nation, families and cities, a whole culture? And because we know that we always talk about the culture. Yeah, you know, we're having a dark season. We're having a dark culture. You know, it's like our culture is so messed up. All this stuff is happening. Yeah, but you know what? Like the true empowerment of the Spirit doesn't happen outside. If it has to happen in the inside first. So in order for us to see what God what really wants to do, it starts with you and I. You know? So it's like, if we want truth to come into this world, can I tell you this? Here's the news. God is going to use you! Okay, are you excited about that?
Yeah!
You know, say, you should be excited. You should be excited because here's the beautiful thing. You know, we don't work for God, but we work with God, right? So, you know, we're dreaming with God. We're moving into the things that God wants to do. So, therefore, He needs to work within us so people can see that we're actually walking with God. The word in Genesis says that God will come and spend time with Adam in the cool of the day. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine Jesus calling y'all, hey, Jonathan, where you at? Where you at? Hey, I'm here. It's here to see you. You know, and the Holy Spirit is here to walk with us daily. But here's the thing, He came to be the truth. Now, He came to lead us to all truth. Watch this. To reveal identity, purpose, and destiny. Okay. Now, a lot of people are confused nowadays on who they are. But here's the thing. We can read the word, but if you don't let the word work in us, we will never find out who we are. And I'm not talking about just like sexual preference. I'm talking about like just identity as a whole. Who God made you to be. It will be fine on the times that you spend with the Father and you let the Holy Spirit reveal who you are. It's funny that in the same scripture says here, I will not leave you as orphans. Isn't that cool? Because here's the Father, what the Father is saying is, I wanna reveal to you who really I am. First of all, I am your Father.
Amen.
But the Spirit needs us to allow us. Can I tell you this? I found it really, 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 really hard in our generation that we live because the devil has done great power destroying marriages. So when you talk about a father, a lot of people don't even have the concept of a father because they never had a father. You know, so can I tell you this? It's time for us, and I'm talking to here the married men. We are not going to give up on their marriages, on our marriages. We are not going to back away from our children when they need correction and when they need direction, because we are here. The Lord has placed us as head of our homes, our priests of our homes. You know what? To set an example of what the Father desires for their children. So we are the first channel of love that God uses as men. And this is for all the men. You're going to get married. And if you're married, I'm just letting you know, let's get with the Holy Spirit. Let's get with the Word of God. And let's take our place as the men that God has called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's do that. All right. Now, the Spirit came. This came to bear truth. Now, but when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Say to your friend, into all truth. Now watch this. A lot of people says this too. Oh, this Holy Spirit said this to me. And you know, here's the thing. Your spirit bears witness with what the things of the Spirit. Doesn't it? I mean, like, you know, it should bear, you know. So, you know, when it doesn't, we have to be careful to what spirits are we listening to. Now, check this out. Because a lot of people will say like things like, well, the Holy Spirit told me this and I'm okay doing this. No. But if it doesn't like that to what Jesus said and what His Word says, then it's not the Spirit. Now, first rule here, for us as Christians, as believers, as we move in the Holy Spirit, they will never contradict themselves.
Yes.
They will never contradict themselves. So if you were hearing something that it doesn't line up with the word of God, and it doesn't line up with what God has said, and with what God, with Jesus is teaching us, can I tell you this? We have to check our source. Amen? Amen. So now, because here's the thing. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, here is open a whole realm of things. You know, the Spirit of God have given, Jesus have given gifts to the church, you know, prophetic gifts, you know, apostolic gifts, evangelism, and all this stuff. And, you know, prophetic movement was yet to come. Sometimes, you know, prophets have the opportunity to pull and to see what's actually in heaven and what's coming for the church. And can I tell you, as a church, if you have a prophetic gift, I encourage you to not to use it out of order, but to use it within order, but listen to what God wants to do. Because, you know, sometimes as a church, we're just hitting walls. And by the grace and mercy of God, people get saved. But here's the thing. When we start lining up with what the Spirit wants to do, you know, we're unstoppable. But we need prophetic. We need the prophetic. We need the apostolic people. We need the gifts of the Spirit working in our churches. Now, you know, he will glorify me because it is from me that you will receive that what he will make known to you. Now, the Spirit only speaks what he hears the Father say. Now, watch this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Isn't that cool? He will just remind you everything that Jesus has already said. But at the same time, he will bring things that he hears the Father says, and he will reveal new things. Now, the Holy Spirit comes as an intercessor. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the Spirit of Truth in this. You know, the Spirit nudges to do stuff. Sometimes it comes in a thought, comes through a word, comes through a feeling. And we have a responsibility. Look at your neighbor, tell him, you're responsible. So you're responsible to respond, right? If you call your phone number, you have a choice. It's either you're going to deny me, or you're going to ignore me, or you're going to send me a text. Can I call you back? Will you really, you know? It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, he makes a call into your life, and he nudges you to do something. Now you have a chance. Are you going to say green button or red button? Let's be real. I want to share a testimony with you. My testimony. Now, because I don't like to speak about like other people's testimonies. I like to speak of what God has done in my life. So, me and my wife got married in 2009, October 17. I got the very opportunity to marry a very beautiful woman, you know. And the beauty of this, it was the God was in the midst of it. Okay? And I'll tell you why. Because when I walk into my marriage, I walk with a pornography addiction. And I'm okay to speak about this. It's no secret to nobody. And I've battled with this for 5 years in our marriage. Can I tell you this? I was a worship pastor. Will you believe that? I was involved in ministry. And I was battling with something. But you know, every time the Spirit of God came and wanted to deal with this, I thought, I can do it on my own. And I will oppress it. You know, I was just like, no, I can do this. And you know, sometimes I will go without watching pornography for a day or two, and I felt like I conquered the world, man. When I felt like I went to like 5 days or 6 days without doing this stuff, you know, I felt like, oh yeah, man, I'm the most amazing man, and I can do all things, you know. But then the 8th day, I will fall again. But you know what I was not allowing the Holy Spirit to do? Is to speak truth into my life. To bring light into my darkness. So I went to this conference, right? So I went to this conference, and I'm telling you, I'm battling with this thing for 5 years. How many of you guys are battling, are being, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you feel like led to, go ahead. How many of you guys have been fighting and battling with things that you want to get rid of? That you know they are stopping you to walk in the abundant life that Jesus is saying to us, but we feel like we can't. I'm still working through some of those. But every day when the Holy Spirit comes, I have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. So long story short, we went to this conference, you know, and this guy spoke about marriage. And it was the most beautiful thing I spoke about marriage. So he made an altar call. He says, hey, man, whoever, like, you know, like, feels like the Lord is doing something with them, come to the altar. So I go to the altar, and I was hoping, you know, that someone will come and pray for me, lay hands on me, and be like, you're free. Yeah, I can go home. You know, my shackles are broken. I can go home. Yes, it's all good. You know, I don't have to deal with this. But the reality, it was the way the Holy Spirit did it with me. It called me to deal with it. So I went to the altar. I cried my eyes out. You know, and I heard two things. These were the things that I heard. When you get home, you need to talk to your wife. Ooh. And when you get to your church, you talk to your pastor. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing none of those. You crazy? I'm being married for 5 years. I'm gonna lose my wife. You know, she's beauty. You know, she's the cute one in the marriage. You know, she's like, oh. Does that make sense? You know, all those fears that start coming into your head and all this stuff start coming into you, this doubt. And then I'm not gonna tell my pastor. You crazy? I'm gonna lose my job. When I'm going to be in the street. So, you know, I got to my house and my wife is literally sitting on the couch with a cup of coffee and she's just there sitting. And for me, in my head, it looked like she was waiting for me to talk to her. So walking straight to the bathroom, and it was this little hole, and I'm walking straight to her, hey, baby. And walking to the bathroom, you know, cleaning myself and looking at the mirror, it's like the longest mirror of my life. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to talk to her. And I'm not going to do it. And then, you know, like the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he gives you boldness.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Boldness, you have to choose to take it.
Yes.
And you have to choose to walk with it.
Yes.
So here's the thing. You know, like when the people were in the upper room and they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they had a choice to make. Now they were empowered. You know why? Because they had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, when you experience something, you just get fired up. And you just say, I want to tell the world about this. Now, but now the Holy Spirit comes into our lives in other ways that he wants to empower us to be able to bring freedom to other people. So, you know, I went, you know, I got out of the bathroom, and we just said, well, here it goes, all or nothing, you know, it's like, because sometimes you have to think, do I rather live my whole life a struggle with this or trust what the Spirit of God is saying and finally walk in an abundant life?
Yes.
And I want you to hear what I'm saying, because we all struggle with different things that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with us in our life. So I sit with my wife, you know, and I say, hey, babe, I just, you know, she was like, how was the conference? I was like, it was great, you know. God did some things. It was awesome. And she said, looking at me, you know, she said, waiting, like, so what else are you going to say? You know, so I'm like, it was awesome. And she asked, what did God do? You know, so the shame and the guilt came. And I said, babe, I have to tell you something. I've been struggling with pornography for the last 5 years. Lost. And you know, she looked at me, right? And I really thought, you know, she was going to go, why? You know, she was going to throw plates at me so I make sure, like, the car was out of her range, you know, and everything. Like, she was going to be like, I don't love you, I and all of this stuff. And you know what she said to me? She's like, I knew. And I was just like, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit told me. So can I tell you this? A lot of times we got to face truth. But here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit is nudging you to do something, you need to understand that he has already fought your battle. And that's a powerful thing. So when we're talking about walking in truth and walking with the Spirit of God, when he's leading us into truth, we need to believe that he's already working in the spiritual realm for this. So, you know, I went and I was like, oh, Holy Spirit, you know, like, this is awesome. You know, my wife will take me in. You know, we can work. And she said, let's pray. We're going to work through this. And I was like, awesome. So then I turn around and says, okay, Holy Spirit, now do I really have to tell my pastor? Because I had to tell the pastor, you know. And he said, yeah, you know, you have to. So then I'm like, you know, and I used to live in the church, kind of like what you guys have around here. Like, you have an apartment downstairs. And I had to come up. And it was the longest walk of my life. And we come, you know, and I was just like, man, like, I'm going to lose my job. We got to go back to Baltimore. I was in California. All things were great. Things were awesome. So I said with my pastor, and I said, hey, pastor, I said, I just want to I have to share this with you. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and during this conference, He dealt with me in some stuff, and I want to bring some things to truth and to light. And I tell him, I struggle with pornography. So, you know, he said, the first thing he says, let's pray. Oh, man. I was like, why are we going to pray? Can we just talk about this and get it over with? So then when he was praying, I really thought he was going to start saying that prayer. You know, when someone is going to discipline you, he's going to be like, Lord, I pray that whatever I'm going to say, you know, it's just like, it like, it penetrates his heart and everything, you know, that he will take it well. But his prayer was so like, of like, God, I thank you. Because truth and light has come. And you know, we pray and then we talk for a couple hours. And the miracle of deliverance for me, in this sense, it came when I had to face what true really was for me. And who really God wanted me to be, but it required something of me. I didn't lose my job. Matter of fact, when I came clean, you know, they said to me, we want to work with you. We want to help you. Can I tell you this? There was a greater anointing that was released upon my life because we repent. And now when we repent, we no longer, the word repentance literally means to make a U-turn. And I think this is one where the Spirit of God brings solution to our life. If we were walking this way, y'all, and if we come into this place where the Holy Spirit leads us into repentance, we got to make a U-turn. We got to walk the other way. But it's a choice we make. So when the Holy Spirit leads us into repentance and He brings truth into our life, and to this, we have a responsibility. Yes. And we have to answer. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit as well intercedes for us. You know, a lot of us, you know, like, you know, I like to pray and I have a long list. How many of you guys have a list for Jesus? I'm like, yeah, I do. I don't know about you. But, you know, it's like, in God, we want these things and we want this, you know. But the Spirit of God, the Scripture says that, you know, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So, isn't that a cool that you have someone who's praying for you? You know, you have the Son who's actually interceded for us as well. So say, you know, and it's an intercessor. And a lot of times we try to find what the will of God is, and we have this big old question is, so what's the will of God for my life? What's the call of God? Man, pray in the Spirit and let the Spirit speak it to you. You know, so say, a lot of times, and I want to say this because I believe God is pushing us to understand what the Holy Spirit does outside of the walls of context of what we know of the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? So a lot of people think like, oh, I have a calling on my life. And the calling only has to look like a pastor, a worship leader, or has to look like someone who does stuff outside, you know, in the church. But the reality is that what God wants to do through the church is so much bigger than what we know of church. But we have to be able to embrace what the Spirit of God wants to do. So now, okay, let me start wrapping this up. So today is Pentecost, right? So we get to embrace the Holy Spirit. I mean, we use it as a day, you know, the Holy Spirit came and everything. But, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to come only to give you guys like goosebumps, but He actually wants to come to empower you. You guys come back. So here's the thing. And, I want to ask you, a couple questions. What is the Spirit of God saying to you individually? Now for us, what is the Spirit of God saying to us as a church? You know, in the book of John, John uses the word believe close to 100 times throughout the whole book. And I want to say this to you because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring freedom, first of all, to your life. He wants to bring freedom to our lives. He wants to bring freedom to our churches. He wants to bring freedom through our cities. And I can tell you this, the vehicle that God uses to do that is us. But here's the thing, what are we hungry for? And I want us to check ourselves because, you know, there's two things that are going to happen here tonight, this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us as we're doing this. And can I tell you this? We're going to have to repent of shutting down the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because He has been speaking. God never gets tired of speaking, but you know what? We shut that voice down. And I believe for some of us, we're going to have to come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry for shutting down your voice and not allowing you to transform my life. Now, for some of you, the Holy Spirit is going to come in a way that He's actually going to empower you and He's going to give you gifts. But here's the thing. We have to make a choice of what we want. And like, He came to stay. The Holy Spirit literally came to stay. So He didn't came so He can just be with you like have an appointment. But He came to stay. To walk with you. So I want every head bow. Every head bow. And we're going to give room for the Spirit to move. We're going to give room for the Spirit to do something here. But first, we have a response to do. For some of us, the Holy Spirit is being leading us, nudging us to say, hey, you know, like there is things you got to come to the Father with. And it's leading us to repentance in some sort of shape or form. So we're going to open the altars. And we're going to allow the Spirit of God to do what He has to do in our lives, to bring truth. So, as the guys lead worship, I'm going to give you a chance to make a decision. To say, hey, I want the truth that the Holy Spirit brings. If you don't have it, maybe you're here and you're new, and you're like, hey, I don't have Jesus, I don't have the Holy Spirit, and you want to live this empowered life, I want you to raise up your hand. We want to pray with you. And we want to lead you into, like, with the prayer of salvation. But now, if you don't have none of this, and you're just like, man, I just want to get soaked with the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to, like, just get off of your seat, and let's come, and let's fill this altar. Look, there's nothing we can do. Launch can wait. But we have an opportunity to answer right now to the Holy Spirit. So as the guy leads us in worship, there's going to be a time that the Holy Spirit is going to start ministering to you. I want you to do this. I want you to be obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying.